Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everybody, to the Week 9 edition of the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast, the flagship show where myself, Drew Dinkmar, in the host chair, breaks down every game on the main slate on DraftKings and FanDuel. This week, we have a 10, and I'm joined by Chris Pacheco. Chris, we are recording on Halloween. Are you in costume today?
If it's like boxers... And nothing else.
No. Let's not go any further. Neither of us are in costume. Hope everybody enjoys their Halloween today, whether you're out trick-or-treating with the kids and stealing their candy later, whether you're out, at a party and enjoying, the naughtier side of the Halloween, experience. Enjoy the holiday. Myself, I like to enjoy it by, firing off 150 lineups at a random showdown slate that, I will eventually just lose money to Drewby. That's how I like my Halloween. He will be stealing my candy. All right, let's do this. As always, we will go game by game. If you're following along at home as a Daily Roto subscriber, we will go left to right in the games and how they are listed in the optimizer. I will give some of the news and notes, the injury information around the games. I'll kick it to Chris for some of his DFS analysis. We'll bat it around. We'll move on to the next game. Let's start with Tennessee and Carolina. Carolina, 3.5-point favorites at home. Low total here, total in the low 40s, basically. Doesn't look like a lot of DFS value to be had. There are some injury information, injury situations to follow. On Carolina's side, it's still not Cam Newton's team just yet. Kyle Allen will start at quarterback once again. And then in their wide receiver core, we saw Curtis Samuel and Jarius Wright both miss practice on Wednesday. Carolina's a team that has a lot of wide receiver depth. So this is a situation to pay attention to because it might free up some value with somebody we haven't seen on the field during the course of the year at Stoneman. It might funnel targets to DJ Moore and Greg Olsen and Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey's gotten really expensive, but he's always going to be in play, certainly. And then on the Tennessee side, we know they've had some injuries in the secondary with Malcolm Butler and Adoree Jackson, both limited in practice on Wednesday. Chris, outside of Christian McCaffrey, who I think we can, reasonably say every single week, Christian McCaffrey is in play and he's a good play, and there's really not a price tag at this point that the sites are going to put on him that's going to take him out of consideration entirely. It's just going to make rosters more difficult to build with him. Outside of Christian McCaffrey, from a DFS perspective, does anything in this game interest you?
Yes, there are some things that interest me, for tournaments. Unfortunately, Drew, we just don't have a lot of games this week that carry high totals. There's a couple of them above 50, but then that's about it. Here we have Carolina with a 22.5 total, Tennessee with a 19 total. So it's not great, and I'm certainly tempering expectations. But taking like a deep dive for tournaments, maybe Derrick Henry with the Tennessee Titans defensive special teams is kind of interesting to me as a stack that I think will be just low owned. That's interesting to me. and that's probably the only thing that interests me really on the Tennessee side. I think on the Carolina side, I see some cheap price tags on DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, particularly over on DraftKings, $4,800 for Moore, $4,300 for Curtis Samuel. I realize that it is not a perfect matchup by any means, but you did mention that Tennessee has been dealing with some injuries on their back end of that defense. So I think the receiving options for Carolina start to enter the mix as well.
Yeah, especially DJ Moore, I think, would be really interesting if Curtis Samuel is limited in any capacity whatsoever. It would be really nice to see a game where DJ Moore is just kind of funneled opportunities. He's 5,400 on FanDuel. He's below 5,000 on DraftKings. Those are pretty good price tags. In terms of the Tennessee side of the ball, I played a lot of Tennessee stacks last week. I didn't have as much Jonnu Smith as I had Corey Davis and A.J. Brown, so it was a pretty disappointing and frustrating situation for me, even though Ryan Tannehill basically got there. Both of these teams, you know, defensively are decent. Carolina has struggled and been more susceptible to running backs this year. Mm-hmm. They've given up the fifth most fantasy points per game to the running back position. So I do think Derrick Henry has some appeal as a tournament play, but I feel like I've been doing that a lot this year, honestly, to no avail so far. And it's weird because I'm not really a Derrick Henry guy. Just in our range of outcomes, he's a guy that usually pops on the higher end. He's below 7,000 on FanDuel, so I think he's going to be interesting there, especially with the touchdown upside. 5,700 on DraftKings should still come with pretty low ownership, but that is one that we will certainly have to see how it develops over the course of the week, especially with the injury situations here. Let's move over to the next game, which isn't much better in terms of entertainment. The Jets travel to Miami. The Jets are 3-point favorites here over the winless Dolphins. Another total in the low 40s. In terms of the injury news in this one, Sam Darnold has some sort of thumb issue, but he practiced in full. I don't think that's a big deal. Chris Herndon got a limited practice in, but you know, he's been kind of moving slowly along from the suspension and the hamstring injury. Albert Wilson was limited while Rashad Jones continues to sit out for the Dolphins. You know, I don't think there's a lot of injury situations that are really dictating things here. Obviously, the trade deadline is coming past, and Robbie Anderson is still with the Jets, so is Le'Veon Bell, who's rumored to be around. I think the biggest difference here is Miami losing Kenyon Drake does open up a lot of opportunity for Mark Walton, which we saw him really dominate the backfield over Kalen Ballage last week. And he's really affordable, but it's hard to get excited about, you know, either of these offenses with how poorly they've played of late. There are a lot of cheap price tags that I think you can take shots on in GPPs individually, but there's nobody here that I would say I'm like super excited to play.
No, I'm not excited either, quite frankly. So you mentioned Mark Walton as the kind of the primary play, with Kenyon Drake no longer in town, played close to 87% of snaps last week. So he looks to be the primary guy, but like you very well said, it doesn't feel exciting to play him or really anyone else. You know, I still feel like I want to play Le'Veon Bell. I feel like Le'Veon Bell at some point is just going to have a really nice week. I guess one of the things I've been tilting about is the opportunity for him just hasn't like been as great as I thought it was going to be. Once Sam Darnold returned to the team. And I guess part of that is, you know, one of those games they played was against the Patriots and they just really had no room to do anything. But still, like, I thought the opportunities for Lev Bell would, I don't know, would be better than this. So I'm a little bit worried about that, especially relative to his price tag. It's not that his price tag is terrible. I just wish it was a little bit cheaper. I think I would have wanted to be more on him if the price tag was cheaper. But as it is, he's mostly just a secondary tournament guy. And quite frankly, I think that's what ends up happening in this game. Like, anyone that I'm considering ends up secondary outside of potentially Mark Walton because it looks like his salary relief might be a little bit needed in this slate.
Yeah, Bell priced up just under 8K on DraftKings. Still, you know, despite not having much success this season, he's down at 7,000 on FanDuel. So I think the price tag on FanDuel is much more attractive. I think you'll possibly use more of them over there. I think, you know, as I've said before with some of these teams, when Dolphins play other bad teams, when you get two bad teams, generally you get a lot of cheap players. And because they're affordable, because they're playing You know, because their offenses struggle on the whole when they get one of these matchups where they might have a little bit more of a chance to be successful because they're playing a team that's more along their lines of caliber. You do get opportunities. And so I still think you can pick opportunities on like Robbie Anderson, Jameson Crowder in GVPs. Demaryius Thomas is still really, really affordable and he's had a nice target share, over the last few weeks. I think those guys are all viable on the Miami side of the ball. You know, Walton's going to be the guy that projections are going to like that I'm a little bit nervous on. So I'm hoping, you know, enough value opens up that I don't have to like strongly consider him as a main option just because Miami's like flipped the script on that running back situation a few times this year. But I do think like cheap price tags on Devontae Parker and Preston Williams and Mike Gesicki all make those guys like viable dart throws in tournaments just because they're so cheap. Not guys that I would have big positions on. So let's move on to another thrilling game. Washington travels to Buffalo. Jesus, can we get a single game that has some level of fantasy appeal? I'm looking ahead. No. All right, we'll just keep grinding. Washington travels to Buffalo. This game has a total below 40, and the Bills are double-digit favorites. Oh, my God, what is going on? All right, injuries. And it sounds like Trent Williams, who returned after not being traded to Washington, couldn't fit into a helmet and didn't pass a physical or something like that. So I don't think he's going to play. Vernon Davis might return. That's not really that interesting. Chris Thompson, he's still sidelined. Isn't that great? I have nothing for this game. Absolutely nothing. Like talk to me about Buffalo and Washington, Chris.
Well, I can tell you that that Washington has a 14 total, or just under it, and I can tell you that Buffalo has a total near 23.5. It's not exciting here, you know that's for sure. On the Washington side, I just don't know. You know, Adrian Peterson is really cheap, but I don't think I could go there. I just don't think I could go there personally. I would have to be playing a lot of lineups to even have a little bit of that guy. I know he's really cheap and he might.
I think Adrian Peterson is worth a sprinkle if you're playing 50,000 lineups. So like one or two out of 50,000 lineups, I think Adrian Peterson is worth a sprinkle. That's how I feel about Washington entirely. Let's just remove them from the league. Let's disband them from fantasy. Let's focus on Buffalo. Is there anyone on Buffalo you would play in this game?
Yeah, I definitely think I'd do. I would play Josh Allen in a tournament. And I don't know if I would like to do just Josh Allen as a one-off. But I think John Brown is a little bit interesting as a pairing with him. He's not exactly cheap though. Now he's 6,100, on DraftKings. Kind of a similar story on FanDuel, 6,200 over there. It's not exciting price tags at all, but like, I think I would do that with Jake Allen. And I know Cole Beasley is like super cheap on DraftKings too. He's 4,100. So I think those would be the guys that I would play from this game.
This game is terrible. The temperatures are going to be in the 40s. There's going to be wind in Buffalo. It's going to be that crummy weather that we saw last week. Probably not as sustained a winds as we saw last week. Surprisingly, Buffalo was still willing to throw the ball kind of aggressively. Hearts out to Mike Leone and everyone who lives in Buffalo for this time of the year that winter is already here. The big news from this game, I think, for a lot of DFSers is the takeaway last week that Devin Singletary played 67% of the snaps. And I don't think that, like, I saw a bunch of things on Twitter about this. I don't think it's particularly interesting or surprising. I don't think Devin Singletary has, like, usurped Frank Gore. I think when Buffalo is playing from behind, you're going to see Devin Singletary on the field. And when Buffalo is playing from ahead, you're going to see a lot of Frank Gore. So I would not take last week's sample and extrapolate it to this week, where Buffalo is nearly double-digit favorites, and expect Devin Singletary to be getting a huge workload. If I'm wrong on that, then Devin Singletary will be very valuable, because if he has usurped Frank Gore, he would get a big workload against Washington. But I think they're just going to be situational running backs. In terms of guys that I've used, like, Josh Allen has the kind of upside that is interesting, but I really think this game is just going to be dreadfully slow and boring and unappealing. And so I don't think I'm going to play much from this game. But if I say that for like four more games, eventually I'm going to have to play someone.
Yeah.
So maybe from that perspective alone, John Brown, like in these slow games, I want guys who can break off a big play. So I'd rather play John Brown than Cole Beasley. I'd rather play Cole Beasley in games where I think Buffalo is going to have to pass a lot. I don't think that'll be the case against Washington here. Mm-hmm. Let's move it over to Indianapolis and Pittsburgh. Indianapolis travels to Pittsburgh here, and they are slight road favorites, which I think is pretty interesting, given, you know, how inconsistent Indy's played this year. From an injury situation, there's a lot here. I think one of the biggest injury situations on the entire slate is what's going to happen with the Pittsburgh running back situation. We saw James leave the Dolphins game late in that one. We saw Benny Snell leave that game earlier. They were both held out of practice on Wednesday. Jalen Samuels, who missed that game, was already deemed that he's fine and good to go for this week. So there's an opportunity here that if Snell and Connor are unable to go, that we have Jalen Samuels emerge as the guy that we thought we might get last week when Connor was on the injury report. Mm-hmm. And so he would be one of the best values on the slate. He's only $5,000 on FanDuel, on DraftKings.
He's 4K.
He's 4K. So like these are really good price tags. He'd be a smash play if he was the only healthy running back on the roster. So that's something to pay attention to. There are some offensive line concerns. Both Pouncey and Ramon Foster were absent to start the week, so we'll have to watch that for Pittsburgh. Obviously, you know, Wednesday practices after a Monday night game, a lot of times you see more rest period, so don't take a ton from that from Pittsburgh. From Indy's side of the ball, they're missing some defensive players, Jabal Sheer, Denico Autry on the defensive line, Kenny Moore at corner. Those guys all missed practice to start the week. T.Y. Hilton and Quentin Nelson were guys that were limited. We'll have to pay attention to that. I think with T.Y., he's just going to be limited on a lot of Wednesdays going forward, so I'm not too concerned there. But Quentin Nelson is one to keep an eye on with a hip issue. This game is more DFS interesting than the first three that we talked about, but largely hinges on James Conner's situation. What else are you looking at for this game, Chris?
Well, I was going to say, what if just like one of those backs is out and it not be James Conner? Because I feel like we could have a situation here a la David Johnson and Edmonds where maybe Conner is a little bit limited in that game. And Samuels is just so cheap, so that, like, I would think I would want to take some shots there, just in case, you know, that situation happens. But again, that's more like, have to be playing a lot of lineups for me to run that out there. If I'm only playing a handful, I don't think Samuels will be in the mix, if Connor is in. So did want to mention that. But yeah, this game, certainly more relevant, than the others. The total is still kind of low, but that's just something that you're going to have to deal with this week. It's a total of 43 here with Pittsburgh being a home underdog by 1 point. I think, you know, Pittsburgh has been decent defensively, but, like, I would use Hilton against them in a GPP. Like, I certainly don't mind that. In fact, I think he would kind of be the only receiving option that I would use outside of maybe Jack Doyle, who's really cheap on DraftKings, and that's just because he's a tight end, and tight end just, it's not a great position, so I could see myself going there, in a GPP. I definitely like the Indianapolis side of the ball more than Pittsburgh, I think. You know, because I know there's a little bit more name recognition with Juju Smith, but on the season, he's posted a 21% market share of targets. We do have him for 23%, which looks a little bit better. But in general, his opportunities and just everything has looked down this season with no Ben Roethlisberger in there.
Yeah, I'm still going to buy and take shots on Juju in tournaments at these price tags. But really for me, like the heavy play on this game is going to be determined by the running back health for Pittsburgh. All right, let's move to a game that will have some DFS appeal. It's just not sure how much just yet. And that's Minnesota traveling to Kansas City. We don't have a line on this game. It's being held out, obviously, as, you know, they sort through the Patrick Mahomes availability. Last week, we saw the Packers as home as road favorites in Kansas City. I imagine Minnesota would be slightly lesser road favorites if Matt Moore was to get the start here. On Minnesota's side, we also have injury information that's very pertinent, with Adam Thielen having missed last week's game. Was limited on Wednesday. Some quotes from Thielen that basically said he'll try to get a good practice in, and then it'll be up to the training staff to determine his availability for the week. And those are really two big injuries. They're the two biggest injuries. There's also, you know, some offensive line injuries for Kansas City that we'll have to pay attention to. But those two injuries, I think, really shape this game and the appeal of this game. If Patrick Mahomes is in, which is what we're projecting back, all of Kansas City's offense becomes interesting. You've got Sammy Watkins at 4,900. You've got Damian Williams at 4,000. Damian Williams handled every touch after LeSean McCoy fumbled last game. You've got Travis Kelce, who's always going to be interesting, and Tyreek Hill, certainly. But if it's not Patrick Mahomes and it's Matt Moore, then, you know, it's harder to get excited about this Kansas City offense against a Minnesota defense that's played pretty well this season. So I think they're, you know, in a sit-and-wait situation. I will note that Mecole Hardman only played 25% of snaps last week, so the touchdowns from Mecole Hardman, I don't think you can rely on those going forward, turning, I believe it was two catches into two touchdowns. And then on the Minnesota side, you know, Stephon Diggs is up to 7,600. So if he's playing without Thielen, that's a very, very hefty price tag. All these skill guys on Minnesota are priced up. Dalvin Cook's almost 10K now on DraftKings. Adam Thielen is almost 8K. So it's going to be a situation where it's a little bit harder to stack the Minnesota side, even though they're a condensed offense. We saw Green Bay go up and down the field against KC's defense. But from a price perspective, it's going to be a little bit harder to do. So, you know, I think this game really, really hinges on these injury informations. Because if Thielen doesn't play, then it's easier to stack Cousins, Diggs, Cook and know that everything is getting concentrated there. Or you can throw in Rudolph or Irv Smith to give you that salary relief to kind of make it work. Or maybe Olabisi Johnson. But if Thielen plays, then it's harder to feel really confident that you're garnering the double stack at such an expensive price point. You're going to need like four touchdowns from them. So I think that really dictates things. How are you approaching this game, Chris?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I agree with you 100%. I think it's more of a wait and see approach here, because you do need to get the news to figure out exactly what you're going to be doing in this game. So at first glance, Drew, I looked at Minnesota's total and just, it's just 19. Like, that just didn't.
No, that's just the default total for us, because there's no line. There's no line on the game until Patrick Mahomes is in, that information is up. So when we have no line on the game, our optimizer just, has an expected total of 22 to 19 for the home favorite over the road. That's all that is.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Because I just looked at it, I was like, that seems just too low. I realize they're a road team and whatnot, but seems too low to me. I wonder what's going to happen with Dalvin Cook from an ownership perspective here, because our projections just don't love him relative to price tag. Obviously, he's still projecting well. Still projecting for like 20 drafting points.
That'll also change once we get a total. Because the projections are tied to this. If you bump Minnesota up to like a 25 to 27 total, then Cook's going to look like okay.
Yeah.
And which, I mean, he's priced up, so it's just the nature of the projections are going to be screwy until we have a total.
Yeah, for sure. I just think it is getting really close to McCaffrey, like too close. Now it's just like $500 off McCaffrey. And so I wonder if you end up getting any sort of discount on the ownership side, because Kansas City has allowed the fourth most fantasy points to the running back position. And so it's certainly a really good matchup. I just think he's really pricey, as you alluded to, but I do like him, even though the price tag is really expensive, because my guess is the ownership is just going to look very different here than McCaffrey. Not going to be like super low owned, but I think it's going to be lower than McCaffrey. And I really do like the matchup quite a bit. So Dalvin Cook is going to end up being one of my primary plays, regardless of the hefty price tag.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's going to be hard to ignore Dalvin Cook after what Aaron Jones just did. And certainly he and McCaffrey, it's going to be a slate where, you know, it's, I don't know if it'll be a back to the old days of team jam them in, but those two guys are getting so much opportunity set. I think Cook will be higher owned than McCaffrey is my guess this week because of the slightly cheaper price tag. That's my guess. Slightly cheaper price tag. He's going to have a better game environment. He's going to have a better total than McCaffrey. I think he will be slightly higher owned. It will be interesting to see though. Obviously he doesn't have the same type of workload as McCaffrey. And in terms of the projection between the two, I think it will end up being, a projection edge for McCaffrey, but it'll be interesting to see. I think that it really depends on how the injury situations play out for this game, because if Thielen is out, and if Mahomes is back, I think Cook is going to be really heavily owned. If Thielen is back and Mahomes is out, I'm not as sure. Yeah. But I think a lot of teams are going to build with one of those two guys and try to force them in, because the running back position after that is a little bit shaky with the price tags. There's not, like, the last few weeks there's been guys you feel really, really good about in the sixes and sevens that I think have, you know, curtailed the ownership on some of the top guys. I don't think that's as much the case this week. So we'll see. But obviously this game is just super, super injury situation dependent, and we'll have more information for our subscribers. We'll tackle all of this on our Saturday update podcast, where we kind of walk through the slate with all the information at our hands. Let's move it over to Chicago and Philadelphia. The Bears traveling into Philadelphia, 4.5-point underdogs here. The Bears are fully healthy. They have like one, you know, random defensive dude on the injury report. They're fully healthy outside of guys they've already put on IR. And then the Eagles side, you know, they have some, you know, Jason Peters is still kind of not practicing early in the week. We'll see what his deal is. DeSean Jackson got a limited practice in, and he could be able to come back this week, which would really open things up for Philadelphia's passing game, in my opinion. And then Miles Sanders did not practice on Wednesday. We'll have to keep an eye there. Boston Scott looked fine in kind of his role, but it would also, obviously, if Miles Sanders were out, it would open up a lot of opportunity for the revenge narrative for Jordan Howard going up against his former team. I think he'd get a lot of workload in that spot, but obviously the Bears aren't the easiest matchup to run on. From a DFS perspective, Chris, how are you approaching this game?
That's very interesting that you mentioned the Miles Sanders thing, because, yeah, I would think Jordan Howard, with these cheaper end type of price tags, would become something in this slate. I'm not sure if it's like super popular, but he'd be something. Cause as you mentioned, the running back position outside of, you know, the very top guys, it doesn't seem like you get any good price tags, just in general. So I think Jordan Howard would certainly enter the mix. I think, you know, Alshon Jeffrey is certainly someone to look at for 5K, on DraftKings. I thought that was a really good price tag for him. On FanDuel, it's 6,600, so not as great over there, but still playable. I think Jeffrey ends up being, like, one of the primary plays for me in this game. So certainly from the Philadelphia side. I'm also looking at Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. He's 3,100 on DraftKings, so ends up being, like, pretty important in this slate, because tight end just isn't a great position this week at all, and there aren't like many comfortable salary relief sources, and I think he is certainly one of them at the tight end position. So yeah, I think that the primary plays in this game end up coming from the Philadelphia side.
So I think that will ultimately be determined by the availability of DeSean Jackson. If DeSean Jackson's back, you're going to see less two tight end sets from Philadelphia, I think, and you're going to see a little bit of a decreased market share expectation for both Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, is my guess. Now, they could ease Jackson in and still play a lot of two tight end sets, or just remove Nelson Agholor from the field entirely. Those are two options, and, you know, against a Bears defense that has a pretty good pass rush, my guess is they might still choose to do that to kind of keep the two tight ends and have a little bit more blocking diversity in terms of the way that they can scheme. In terms of the Bears side of the ball, I think in general, when, you know, teams have played Philadelphia this year, you want to attack them with wide receivers. They've allowed the most fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers. The Houston Texans are second in that metric, and then the Giants and the Falcons. So everybody's immediately going to think of Allen Robinson. Well, Allen Robinson is priced up $6,800 on DraftKings. It's a little bit of a tougher price tag. He's been exceptional this year, but the inconsistencies of Mitch Trubisky make it tough to kind of, you know, have confidence in him. He's $7,200 on FanDuel. David Montgomery obviously had a huge week last week and had a huge workload expectation, much tougher matchup against Philadelphia. I would expect his performance to regress considerably given the matchup. He's still got a reasonable price tag. But I think on the Bears side, it's really, you know, do you pay up for Allen Robinson or do you take some dart throw shots on some of the secondary wide receivers in GPPs like Anthony Miller or Taylor Gabriel who are cheap but do not have consistent workload expectations? And I think I might have a little bit of Allen Robinson in GPP, but in general, I think this game is a potential stay away for me. I think Philadelphia's defense can round into form. I think Trubisky and the offense for the Bears has just been a little bit broken. You know, it's going to be an outdoor game in northeast conditions, so temperatures are going to be in the 50s with a little bit of wind. I'm probably not going to be on this game a ton if DeSean Jackson returns, because while I think it will help Philly's offense on the whole, I also think it will spread it and be a little bit more difficult of a game to attack. I think there are good price tags. You mentioned Alshon, Ertz, Goddard, but probably not a stackable situation for me. Let's move over to Detroit visiting Oakland. This is one of the more compelling DFS environments on the slate. We've got a total in the upper 40s here. Oakland slight favorites at home. We've got good weather expectations in Oakland. From an injury perspective, with Oakland, you always have to kind of keep an eye on Tyrell Williams, who returned in great fashion last week, but was limited early in practice this week. I think that's going to be the case for him. He's a guy who's, you know, been playing through injuries, the last few years, and, this year he's been banged up quite a bit. Mike Daniels and Darius Slay, got limited practices in. Both those guys missed for the Lions last week, and I think that certainly made their defense more vulnerable. One of the reasons I think the Giants had some success last week. Josh Jacobs was also limited for Oakland. Those were the big injury issues. I would expect most of these guys to be able to play, getting in limited practices on Wednesday, so I don't think there's going to be a lot of injury situations that dictate this this game for this slate. But from a DFS perspective, you know, Chris, this is one of the – this game and the next game we're going to talk about, Tampa Bay-Seattle, are really like the two premier offensive environments on this slate until we figure out the Minnesota-Kansas City situation. So this game is going to have some ownership on it. Mm-hmm. How do you anticipate playing it?
Yeah, for sure. It's going to have ownership. You know, one of the things is on DraftKings, I'm looking at these price tags on the Detroit receivers. They're really pricey. Kenny Galladay is $7,700 this week, which I think that's a very appropriate price tag for him. And Marvin Jones is $6,000. I mean, I'm sorry, but I don't ever want to play Marvin Jones when he gets to that price level. I'm more comfortable playing him when he's $4,000, not at $6,000. Danny Amendola is $4,700. He saw, you know, lots of work last week. I think that's a decent price tag, not too exciting. So I'm a little bit bummed out that the price tags are the way they are, but maybe that keeps, you know, ownership a little bit in check on the Detroit side. And I definitely want to play some of them, even though I'm not in love with the price tags, because Oakland this season has allowed the second most fantasy points to the quarterback position and has allowed the fifth most fantasy points to the wide receiver position. So it's a really good matchup for Detroit, and I really want to attack it with the passing game. So I think I'm going to end up having some here, even though I'm not in love with the tags. And obviously on the Oakland side, you do get a little bit more salary relief. Derek Carr is $5,500. Waller is priced up now. He's $6,300, so he's no longer cheap.
Chris, still play him. Chris, yeah. did you just call Darren Waller Waller?
I think I did that.
He is not an old school Hartford hockey player. His name is Waller. Darren Waller.
Yeah, that's really interesting to me. Cause I certainly thought it was the other way around.
Good lord. Speaking of tight ends, I'm going to keep losing money on TJ Hockenson. I'm going to keep firing away. That's the cheapest way to get exposure to the Stafford double stacks. And I think whenever you're playing Stafford in GPPs, you want to consider the double stack route. You mentioned Marvin Jones being expensive on DraftKings. He's below 6K on FanDuel. I think that's a really good price tag there to attack on FanDuel. Danny Amendola was the most heavily targeted wide receiver early in the game last week to my tilting delight. He's 4,700 on DraftKings. I cannot play Danny Amendola at 4,700. So I'm pretty much locking myself into, you know, Stafford double stacks with Hockenson and one of Marvin Jones or Galladay. The running back situation for Detroit was very interesting last week. Basically, it looked like it was going to be Trey Carson getting like all the opportunities early in the game, and then it just switched, and they basically like took him off the field after the first half and gave Ty Johnson more opportunities. In total, neither of those guys played above 40% of the snaps. They had four running backs active in general. McKissick 25%, Ty Johnson 39%, Trey Carson 30%, and Paul Perkins 9.5%. That is a disastrous situation to deal with. I know they're all cheap, so there's certainly, you know, if one emerges, you would have the opportunity to get value there, but I'm not particularly optimistic on this situation. So I think from the Detroit side of the ball, you know, it's probably just going to be Stafford double stacks for me with Hockenson heavily included because he's a cheap way to get exposure. Darren Waller, I think, is fine in terms of his price tag. Tyrell Williams, I think, is fine to attack. And I think as a result, you're going to see a lot of Derek Carr ownership in GPPs. He's pretty affordable. He's 7,300 on FanDuel. On DraftKings, he's 5,500. Very good price tag. They've been throwing the ball a ton in John Gruden's offense. Detroit is a team that we saw get beat with running backs catching the ball out of the backfield with Saquon Barkley. We saw Daniel Jones kind of light them up last week, and you know, on the season, they're a team that has been, you know, easy to run on too. Running backs have the third most fantasy points accrued, so I think Josh Jacobs is certainly in play. The price tag is difficult, 6,500 on DraftKings, mid sevens I believe on FanDuel, but I think this whole Oakland offense is going to be in play this week, and it's going to be weird to see. We'll see what the ownership shakes out on, but it's going to be weird to see Oakland as chalk. It's going to be very strange after the last few but I think that'll end up being the case. And from a cash game perspective with some of those really expensive running backs on this slip, I think Derek Carr is going to be one of the higher-owned cash game quarterbacks, and I think with good reason. All right, let's move it over to the game that right now I think is the featured game in terms of DFS this week, the game that will have people's attention the most. And I really wish this game was taking place on a different slate. I wish this game was taking place on a slate where, you know, there were some other high totals to really kind of mask it or you know, have it kind of not stand out quite as much. But it's not. It's the highest total on the slate at 51.5. Tampa Bay travels to Seattle, where Seattle is 6-point favorites at home. In terms of injuries, O.J. Howard did not practice on Wednesday. There was some speculation he might go on IR. But I haven't seen anything come to fruition there. We'll see what his availability is. Cameron Brate was also limited, so we'll see if it's Tanner Hudson season for those preseason players. Anthony Auclair, more of a blocking tight end, would certainly get snaps as well. From Seattle's side of the ball, they have some injuries with Mike Iupati. Didn't practice on Wednesday. Dwayne Brown got on a limited practice. There's some offensive line injuries there, which is an interesting thing to pay attention to just because Tampa Bay's front four has played so well this season. But, you know, it's going to be, again, the way that, like, this is the matchup that you've been waiting for if you've been waiting for Russell Wilson all year long, because really the way this game profiles is that Seattle's probably going to have trouble running the ball because most people have had trouble running the ball in Tampa Bay, and they're just going to let Russ sling it around. And that is always very exciting for what has been a relatively condensed passing offense and one of the most efficient passing offenses in the league year after year. DK Metcalf is up to 5,700 on DraftKings, got a stark price increase there. Tyler Lockett's 7,500. But I think a lot of people are going to want to play Russell Wilson stacks on this slate. I think he's going to be one of the most popular quarterbacks. I assume that'll be the case for you as well, Chris, because it's hard to get away from on this slate. But how are you approaching this game in general?
Yeah, that will be the case for me as well. That's what I'm seeing. It's just a game that stands out too much. And you know, Seattle's total is near 29 in this slate, which is certainly the highest, at least at the moment. And they're at home too, so it's just a lot of good things going in their favor. I don't know if I am like too excited to play them into that ownership. I know like Russell Wilson doesn't scare me at all. But you know, Tyler Lockett priced up now. He's 7,500. It's not that he's unplayable. It's just that it gets tougher once a price tag gets like that. So Seattle is with that total is going to end up being like the team here that you're going to be most excited to play. But on the other side of this game, you also have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, who it doesn't feel like they could ever hit together, Drew. At least for me, it hasn't worked out this year. I've certainly rolled out a good amount of Winston and then double stacking with Evans Godwin. It just doesn't seem to pan out. It's always like one guy goes absolutely bananas, whereas the other has a really quiet game. So I still think they're very much in the conversation this week, even though the total is a little bit muted, but it's still 23. And right now, like that's not a terrible total in this slate. So gonna end up playing those guys in tournaments again.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think they're cheap enough on DraftKings that you can still double stack and still eventually hope that one of the games, the production is a little bit more spread out, but it just hasn't been that way so far. I think on FanDuel, now that they're both over 8K, yeah, really tough to double stack them with Winston. You really, really need to hit the nut kind of 4 to 5 touchdown outcome where, you know, most of those go to the two guys that you're playing. So I think it's a situation now where, you know, where on DraftKings you can still look to attack this, and especially DraftKings, you have more room for error because it's going to be a high volume reception offense. It's going to be a good chance at the bonus for Winston. So you can get there even without the touchdowns. On FanDuel, you can. With those price tags, it's very difficult. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the tight end position. I know, mm-hmm, you know, Levitan's already tweeting about Tanner Hudson. So if Brate and Howard miss, I think there would be a natural Levitan bump, but Hudson, like in mass multi-entry, would be a guy that you could take some stabs on. It's not an offense that's utilized the tight end quite a bit, but he's 4,000 on FanDuel, Stoneman on DraftKings as well. So those guys are interesting. Brate certainly can be used in the red zone and certainly can be interesting as well as part of double stacks. I won't be on the running side for Tampa Bay. Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones, the hot hand approach has basically revealed that no one in that backfield ever has a hot hand. And it's going to be a pass happy offense. Carson, you know, the running back position, it's so difficult to find workhorse backs these days. So I think Carson is still going to be in play, but probably a player that I'm going to, you know, have lesser exposure to this week. I personally would rather get up to Dalvin Cook or Christian McCaffrey than play Chris Carson. Slightly more favorable matchups there, and Carson's price tag is starting to ascend into their direction. Two more games on the slate to cover. Let's go to Denver, where Cleveland travels to Denver. They're 3.5-point favorites here. You know, in terms of the injury information on this one, the big news, you know, is that the Broncos have made a change at the quarterback position. No more Joe Flacco. Now it's going to be Brandon Allen, who hasn't had a particularly intriguing collegiate or preseason career. The Broncos now have an implied total below 18 on this slate. In terms of injury situations, Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry were limited participants on Wednesday. I don't think that's a big thing to be concerned about. I think that's just managing workloads early in the week. Von Miller was limited on Wednesday for Denver. That's not unusual as well. Jeff Heirman didn't practice on Wednesday. Vic Fangio commented that he's like 50-50 to play. We saw last week in the first iteration of Denver without Manny Sanders, where we all thought we were going to, you know, free Deshaun Hamilton. We were going to get some opportunities there. I think he had one target. So that didn't go so well. He played 61% of snaps. He was actually outsnapped by Fred Brown. So that wasn't a particularly interesting situation. It was Noah Font who benefited quite a bit with 9 targets. Cortland Sutton still in his role and the running back still in their role. From a DFS perspective, I think both of these defenses are good enough that it's hard for me to get excited. I guess I like Nick Chubb, but I don't, you know, and Odell's cheap. For Odell, he's freaking 7,000 on FanDuel now. So I probably will take some individual shots here. And I guess Odell is, what, 6,600 on DraftKings? But I'm probably not in a stack spot. I guess you could say on DraftKings they're cheap enough because Baker's 5,100 that you could do some stack stuff. But this game feels to me like a grinded-out game for Cleveland where they lean on their defense, try to put the young quarterback in bad spots and try to grind it out with Nick Chubb, and it's not that exciting of a DFS situation.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I think Chubb, from a projection standpoint, ends up being the primary play in this game for sure. I do have interest there. And I want to say I'm kind of bummed out that this, you know, the Baker Mayfield situation has played out the way it has this year, where he's just been bad. But I don't think it's just been him. I think there's been other parts of that Cleveland offense that have just looked dysfunctional. But they're just starting to get so cheap on DraftKings, man. It's hard, you know, not to take a hopeful shot there in tournaments, Drew, because the ownership is just going to be so low. I mean, if anything, right, you would admit that the ownership is going to be really, really low on a 10-game slate on the Cleveland side. It's yeah. not a good matchup for the passing game either. So, like, there's not a lot of things that check out the boxes here, but prices, ownership, you know, talent, at some point, this offense just has to put up points, right? I mean, like, I feel like I say that every week, and, you know, every week they just kind of look bad, but I feel like at some point this Baker Mayfield Odell connection has to work. Maybe it doesn't, and I'm wrong.
I think their offensive line issues have been a big deal all season long. You look ahead to the schedule, and it's at Broncos, against the Bills at home, Steelers at home, and then November 24th, maybe that's the day. Dolphins at home. Maybe that's the day that, you know, we finally kind of see. My guess is it will come with plenty of ownership as well then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't mind taking the shot on a 10-game slate where we know ownership is really going to condense around a few games, but it's not a shot that I'm excited to take. This isn't like, you know, this week is more difficult for me because I think the chalk is very clear and I think it's much better than most of the other games. Last week I felt pretty good about that Tennessee-Tampa Bay game being an unheralded higher scoring game. I don't have that feeling this week on any of these other games, and so it's difficult for me. When the prices are good, I understand taking shots, which I think they're reasonable on DraftKings, but not one that I'm excited to deploy.
I understand where you're coming from. It's certainly not exciting for sure, but we also opened up the pod with like at least five games in a row where both you and I were like, well, this, you know, this is like definitely not exciting at all. Whereas at least on the Cleveland side, they do have some talent. And I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, I know the offensive line has been dreadful, and if they're going to struggle all year, and, you know, it's going to be tough for the passing game to work. I also feel like Cleveland is playing a good defense every week. Like every week, I feel like they're playing someone that I feel like, I don't know if I should do this. So here we are again, you know,
in terms of favorable matchups this year, they've basically had the Seahawks at home and they scored 28 there. I guess at Baltimore, Baltimore's not been a good defense. They scored 40 there, but the other matchups, you know, Titans at home is okay, not great. At the Jets, okay, not great. Rams at home, pretty good defense there. Although other teams have had success against the Rams. At 49ers, terrible matchup. At Patriots, terrible matchup. So, yeah, they haven't had a lot of good matchups, but I don't think at Broncos is one of them either. So I think they're okay, but I'm not super excited about it. The final game on the slate is Green Bay traveling to the Chargers. So Green Bay gets another home game because those are basically home games for anyone traveling to play the Chargers. Aaron Jones, I think, will be very popular. This is the situation that I feel strongest about taking an underweight position on in general this week. I think, the way Green Bay is using their, first let me cover injury situations, yeah. I guess. So Devontae Adams, did participate in Wednesday's practice. It'll be interesting to see, you know, his individual drills basically. He's been ruled day to day. If he is back, I think it changes the dynamic of the offense entirely. And would make me feel even more confident in potentially fading this offense on the whole. Because it gets worse, but because the production gets more spread out. In terms of the Chargers, good Lord. Where do I start? So, you know, Keenan Allen was limited. So was Jeremy Davis. He's like a fourth or fifth receiver. Russell Okung limited. They have a bunch of defensive injuries as well. Brandon Mebane, Justin Jones, Cortez Broughton, all missing practice to start the week. I think this is this game, like Green Bay has a 25.5 implied total. Green Bay is going to be a popular offense because they've been delivering for people the last few weeks. And they match up well with the Chargers. We just saw David Montgomery run up and down the field on the Chargers for a Bears running game that struggled all season long. So there's so many reasons to like Aaron Jones this week.
Yeah.
He's priced reasonably at 7,000, but I think that's going to lead to him being one of the most owned running backs on the slate. And what we've seen with Green Bay's offensive production in the absence of Devontae Adams is basically they've said, we don't have any confidence in any of our other wide receivers, and so we're going to play Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones together some, and we're going to get the ball in the hands of our running backs because, you know, Marquez Valdez-Scantling is not, you know, equipped to handle a heavy workload. Ronimo Allison hasn't been equipped to do that. And they play basically nobody above 65, I guess Lazard got 66%, but nobody else above 65% of snaps last week. That is a very spread out offense. The week before, they had a few guys get above 70% of the receivers, but Aaron Jones was around 56 and Jamal Williams was around 40. And so it's hard to generate ceiling games in an offense that is spreading out the opportunity in terms of playing time. The opportunity has been condensed in terms of targets and catches to in carries to the running backs. But I don't know if that can hold, and you're starting to pay higher price tags for them. I would certainly play Aaron Jones before Jamal Williams, but I think Aaron Jones is going to be super, super owned. And so for me on this slate, that's probably going to be like fading Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones is probably going to be one of my bigger positions on this slate. And I don't feel great about the Chargers defense showing up and making me feel good about it, but I think it's the right thing to do in the face of likely high ownership given the workload. And I will feel so much better about this if Devontae Adams is back. Just because I think it spreads the way that they can get the ball around. I think it would help Rodgers certainly, but I think it would make him harder to stack, on the whole. And Adams is still, you know, carrying kind of his normal price tag. He's 8,000 on FanDuel, and he's 7,100 on DraftKings, so I wouldn't be ready to play him right away.
Yeah, that makes sense. Drew, I'm looking at some of the defensive metrics and, like, fantasy points allowed for the Chargers. I wonder why it's been so low for them on the season. I think there was one position where they were, you know, a little bit, like, certainly way worse than the others, but in general, they've done a good job of keeping other teams in check as far as fantasy points allowed. And I just anecdotally, like, look at them every week. It always feels like they're so banged up everywhere that they would allow more, but that just hasn't been the case. Anyway, Green Bay has one of the higher totals on the week here at 25.5. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers has been playing well, even in the absence of Devontae Adams. But I do agree with you that I think Aaron Jones is going to be popular. And they do spread it around, so I understand your take on going underweight there. Rodgers has been having some good weeks recently, so I think people are going to want to invest there with the total being so high. I do like Keenan Allen on the other side of this game. He was supposed to be, like, limited, and last week I guess he was a little bit, but I'm not expecting that to be the case this week. He's still priced kind of awkwardly. 7,300 on FanDuel in particular, like, it doesn't really stand out. If I'm playing Keenan Allen, it's probably going to be on DraftKings at 6,400, on the PPR site. I really do like that one, quite a bit. I think that you can play Hunter Henry here, but he's 6K, on DraftKings, which is really expensive. Still think that he's in a playable range. But yeah, not, like, it's a good game environment. I think the Chargers are going to be, you know, as you always kind of make fun of, Drew, Philip Rivers, 1 minute to go, down one score. Like, I think that scenario is probably going to play out here. So I am definitely in on the Chargers passing game.
So I think the Chargers are starting to get cheap enough. You know, Mike Williams is still really affordable. He obviously is due for some touchdown regression. I think he's a fine play. Melvin Gordon's now down to 5K on DraftKings, and the workload in terms of the carries and the opportunities has certainly been there, and Green Bay's been vulnerable on the ground all season long. So I will play some Melvin Gordon there. But yeah, Hunter Henry's pretty expensive now. Keenan Allen is fine in terms of price tag, but I'm not super excited there. So I'll probably have some of this game, but I'm really not excited to play the Green Bay side of things into ownership, and that's what I think we're going to see. I did want to note before we get out of here that everybody should be considering playing on Fantasy Draft this week. Fantasy Draft is the only rake-free daily fantasy site. It brings the heat again with a $300,000 guaranteed rake-free contest, the Hooters main event. This is the largest and only rake-free contest of its kind you will find for Week 9. And remember, only on Fantasy Draft are 100% of entry fees paid to contest winners. Sign up at fantasydraft.com with referral code FNTSY, and you'll receive a 7-day free trial membership. So that's going to do it for this week, Chris, the Week 9 edition of the flagship pod, the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. The Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast is continuing to pump out content each and every day of the week. On Fridays, you can find Davis Maddock reviewing some of his picks against the spread alongside a guest. Make sure to tune in for that. If you like what we're doing on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast, please give us a like, give us a subscribe, give us a rating, give us a review. All of those things help keep us kind of up in those iTunes algorithms and all those other podcast platforms so we can deliver this content to you free each and every week. We wanted to wish you guys the best of luck in your games in Week 9. Enjoy Halloween and the holiday, and we'll be back again tomorrow with Picks Against the Spread and myself with the flagship pod next Thursday.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.